Thank you, Taylin. Mr. Reed. It was the humble. He wants to teach the humble good things. Amen? So I feel humble today. I feel proud of that. You could be even proud of being humble, couldn't you? That could be a problem. But today I'm privileged to stand with you and to pray together and to think a little few minutes about a familiar Bible story. I've haven't been speaking much through the month of May, but haven't we been blessed with all the testimonies and visitors and praise service at the end? May has just been a highlight for me. I was expecting to be in bone marrow transplant, and so we planned it so that I wouldn't have to be heavily involved. And we don't know when that time is coming, but we trust. My mom is back now, and Dad, and we're working through things, and just thank you for your continued prayers and joy of ministry. So I have people on backup in case I fall over and can't speak, but I feel the strength of the Lord today. I woke up with a Kenya friend binging me at 4:30, and I couldn't get back to sleep, so I got up and had some good time with the Lord. A couple weeks ago, our communion service and even Mother's Day service was about the mercy of God. Do you remember the word that was used for mercy? It's a mother's womb. And that's a very delicate and safe place, a protective space where people can grow. And that's part of the character of God. If anyone doesn't have a little sheet, I made some sheets for kids, or big kids that would like a sheet. It's up here if you'd like to have a sheet that talks about the amazing story that we're going to talk about today. And I'm going to see if this PowerPoint will work from here or if I still need Rochelle and Wynn to help. Click. I need help with my other clicker. So this one does not seem to click, so I'll just give you a little heads up. Oh, maybe. Okay, maybe it'll work. Read with me. This is a well-known verse about the mercy, right? He has shown you all what is and what does the Lord require of you but to justly, to love, and to walk humbly with your God. So it's a summary statement, kind of like Ecclesiastes 12, you know, the whole thing. This is it. Fear God, give glory to Him, right? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. These are big summary statements if you wonder, you know, what is God's will for my life? Seek justice. Do the right thing. And then on the one hand, a person that is really concerned about justice sometimes forgets about mercy. So in Christ, these things are together. There's even a verse about them at the cross, kissing. Mercy and justice kissing together at the cross. Like, how is it? You have the justice, you have the law of God, and you have the grace of God. You have all His character. He's concerned about the right thing. His character is on display. And yet when He makes the rules, He's concerned for people. He didn't just make a rule and say, okay, you've got to keep it. Well, He did, but it's not just regardless and without emotion or feeling. He's like, let me help you now to walk in the right way. It's a parent who makes a rule, and then when it's broken, it doesn't mean the relationship's off. It's like, okay, now we're going to reconcile, we're going to forgive, we're going to work through this so that you know why the rule was there, and we can keep it. Okay, so again, do justice, love, and walk humbly by yourself. With God. See, the with God helps us to do all three. Because this is the character of God. God is justice, God is merciful, and He's humble. God is meek. He says, I'm gentle. Follow me. I'm gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So when Jesus was here, He demonstrated those characteristics with everyone He met. Sometimes when you've got a full emotional tank, you can be merciful. You can be gracious. Oh, as a teacher, yes, okay, we'll help you. But when your nerves are frayed and you've been up half the night and you see a student cheating on their test or something, you want to give them what for? Hey, I prepared you for this, and what are you doing? Abusing my goodness, my graciousness. You deserve justice, and I'm going to fail you. And you get some sort of pride, like, I'm going to get them back, those crazy kids. No, maybe it's just me. But no. We're going to jump now. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 10. We're going to camp out in this story because I like it. And this story is Jesus. He's going forth. He sees a multitude and he's filled with what? Okay? He sees people. He's filled with mercy. He's filled with compassion. He created them. He's like their mother. He's like their father. He's like, I know I have plans for you, but you're walking your own way. Why are you doing that? Come to me. You're like a sheep without a shepherd, just going here and there. Jesus, filled with mercy, filled with compassion, and he heals their sick. He meets them at their point of need. But although he sees the crowd, does he recognize each one? Just like the shepherd, right? He knows their name. He sees a crowd, he has compassion, but he has mercy on the one. Here's the one. Jericho. Mark chapter 10. So open with me in your Bible. Jesus goes to Jericho and he's on the way to Jerusalem. And at Jerusalem is the cross. This is at the end. He's going through Jericho and here's a guy on the side of the road. Blind Bartimaeus. Can you say Bartimaeus, kids? Can you say Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus. Now, Bar is like the son of. And so he's a well-known guy. They don't give people a lot of names. Matthew has two blind men by Jericho. Luke has the one, but doesn't name him. And so Matthew got close enough to know his name. He's the son of Timaeus. And so he's sitting by the road, and we don't know why he's there. Let's read the story. When they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a what? Large crowd. They're leaving the city. So Jesus has already ministered. He'd already been there. Probably he met Zacchaeus in Jericho, because that's Luke 18, 19. So they're leaving Jericho now. On the way, Jesus is going to the cross. He's got a lot on his mind. People are still following him, asking for stuff. It's like your kids when their grades are due, and they're like, oh, but teacher, let me get this project in. Can I send it to you by midnight? Oh, teacher. You know, people are scrambling for him, asking for something. Maybe the curious are there, just going along with the crowd. Maybe they're just well-wishers and waving him off. There's a crowd. Blind Bartimaeus sitting by the road, and he's begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to, Jesus, whisper. Isn't shouting annoying? I don't know if you've been in countries where they beat their horns. I like Taiwan, that they don't beat their horns all the time. But some countries, they beat their horns all the time. They're just, I'm here, beep, 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 beep. It's like a shout. Hey, hey, hey. And you get sensory overload. It's like, just be quiet. Can't we have some peace? In a city, there's always a hum of activity. So here you've got this crowd going along. And this is no name. Well, he is a name, but he's sitting there begging. Now, he shouts, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's a loaded statement. That is a question, a heart cry. He needs help. Now, he was blind, but he wasn't
deaf.
So he asked the people, who is this? What's going on? He had heard about Jesus, and he wants Jesus to touch his life. He needs an intervention. He is tired of being by the road, ignored, spit on, begging. He's tired of that life, and he knows only Jesus can fix it. And so he cries out. This is his one chance. Jesus is gone. Once he leaves Jericho, he's gone. He's on the way to the cross. This man cries out. Using what title? Son of David. Son of David. What's significant about that? Son of David. a throne. Remember when David was king? And he was kind of looking at everything, and he sees the ark of God by the tent. And he's like, I'm living in a palace of cedar, but I got to make God a house. And Nathan's like, go for it. But then God spoke to Nathan and says, oh, you spoke too fast. No, I don't want David to do it. Maybe his son can do it. But let me give you a word for David. 2 Samuel 7, possibly. David, you want to build me a house? I appreciate that. I haven't lived in a house. It's not really necessary. But let me make you a house. So that if your sons, if your family follow in my ways, there will never be a time when someone's not on the throne. Well, of course, he's looking forward to Jesus. Jesus, son of David. And that's through the line of Ruth and Obed and David. And so even though David lost the kingdom and his son and grandson messed up and he had to take it away, through Jesus the kingdom is restored and the messianic prophecy continues. Son of David, have mercy. Jesus is mercy. He's mercy personified. So have mercy is like be yourself. Recognize me for who I am and that I need your help. I need your touch today. Now, you have mercy on me. He's not just asking generally, is he? There's a large crowd there, but he's shouting, Jesus, son of David. He began to shout. In other words, he kept on shouting. Even when people said, shh, shh, hey, stop that. You're making a noise. You're making a scene. Well, Jesus doesn't have time for you. So many rebuked him. And you'll find this in church, too. Some people's cries are uncomfortable. Cry of a child. You know, it might be music to a mother's ear, or maybe not. But it can be a little grating, a little annoying. And so when someone cries, and they keep crying, like, hey, shush, do you need a blanket? Do you need something to eat or drink? Just stop crying already. People wanted him to stop, but he shouted all the more. He's persistent. This is a prayer where you realize, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I need help. So Jesus stops. Jesus is often going, even when he called his followers, he's like, follow me. And he just keeps walking. He doesn't wait around to see if they're going to follow or what. Jesus is on the move. He's not in a hurry, but he knows no delay. He's on a plan and he's on a mission. And now he's on the mission to the cross. You remember later on when he was going to stop for the night, he put word out and the town said, no, if you're not going to stay with us, keep going. We have no room for you. And John and James said, let's bring fire down from heaven and kill them, burn them all up. Jesus is like, oh, guys, I've been with you so long. You don't know what spirit you are. Okay, it's okay. Jesus allowed people to reject. Whatever, Jesus is on the move. He's heading to Jerusalem. Son of David, have mercy. Jesus stops. He stops. So then the crowd stops. And Jesus looks back to blind Bartimaeus. And he says what? Call him. This is his lucky day. This is his providential day. This is his intervention day. This is his transformation day. This is his redemption, his salvation day. Call him. Jesus says, come to me. What? All heavy laden, I will give you rest. So call him. So now these crowds that were so rude to this man and said, Jesus doesn't have time for you, cheer up, Fred. See, you can't base your relationship with Jesus on the crowd at church or the crowd outside the church or the crowd at work. Jesus is for each one. Each one he has a blessing. Whether the people are for you or against you, doesn't matter. When Jesus says, call him, I have something to do. I have a gift for him today. Cheer up, friend. On your feet. He's calling you. And he threw what? Threw his cloak aside. The cloak was everything. That's his identity. That's his cover at night. That's everything he has. But he knew he wasn't coming back to the curb. He threw his cloak aside. He's ready for a new life. He's ready for a change. He's demanded, he's pressed his request. Jesus has stopped, and this man is having a new life experience right now. Throwing his cloak aside, he kind of casually gets up. What does it say? He jumps to his feet. He's not lame. He's just blind. And he came to Jesus. They probably helped him, escort. Okay, because he can't see, right? But he's coming to Jesus. He's obedient to the word of the Lord. What do you want me to do for you? What kind of question is that? The guy's blind, obviously. Do you need to voice your specific concerns to God? He asks you, honor him with your request. Just previously in Mark, you have James and John, and they're pressing their mom. They ask us, Mom, ask us, we want to be close to Jesus in his kingdom. Jesus asked them the same question. What do you want me to do for you? Their answer was not so good. But when Jesus asked the blind man, he was ready with his response. He knew what he wanted to ask from Jesus, and he knew Jesus could do it. That's why he called him Son of David, and that's why he appealed to his mercy. Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Is that just physical sight? Just physical? I just need to, you know, repair glasses. Last 2 days ago, I was taking my glasses off to go at night, go to bed, and they came off in 2 pieces in my hand. Oh, no. So I'm trying a new pair of glasses, and this week has been just a blur as I'm trying, my brain has to figure out a new way to see. If that, the glasses, can you imagine being blind? We don't know if he was born blind, because, you know, in John 9, it says a guy was born blind. So maybe Bart could see at one time. Probably could. We don't know what circumstances brought him to the side of the road. And Jesus doesn't even ask him about that. He doesn't say, why are you begging? He doesn't say, I don't have any money. He doesn't say, you know, you should do something for a living instead of just begging here. He doesn't condemn. He just says, come. What do you want me to do for you? Your faith has healed you. Jesus knows your situation. And when he says, Rabbi, you know, in the New King James, and I didn't look up the Greek, but there's two places where it says this Rabbi. One, in New King James, it says Rabboni. It's not just Rabbi. It's a personal title. It's the same one that Mary at the tomb used for Jesus when he acknowledged her as Mary. He just said, Mary. She's like, Rabboni. He's like, this is my teacher. Not just a teacher. It's a personal connection, a visceral response to, like a parent's call, a mother and child, a father and son. Rabbi, I know who you are. I want to see. Jesus says, what? Boom. Okay, done. That's easy. Your faith has healed you. Go. Your faith has healed you. And immediately, he received his sight and went back to the side of the road, went back home, saw his family. What did he do? He followed Jesus on the way, because their way was together. When Jesus said, go your way, he gave them an out. If all you want today is your vision, done. But this shows that he's looking for more insight. Not just physical healing. Go your way is the same as Jesus' way, because he followed Jesus on the road. He received his sight. Followed Jesus on the road. Along the way. And we know Jesus is the way, right? Wherever Jesus is going is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And so he knew that receiving his sight that day was only part of what God could do in his life, as he would continue to be faithful and follow Jesus. I've just been blessed by that story, and there are so many insights. It's almost inexhaustible that Jesus is recognizing each person. He talks to the high Pharisee like Nicodemus, and he's got a word for him. He talks to the woman by the well. He stops on his way to his most important mission, because the Father said, stop. This person needs my help, and he's calling on my name. And Jesus, obedient to his Father and recognizing the faith of this man, said this is a day to make a change, a difference in his life. Physical blindness may have reduced Bartimaeus to begging by the highway, but he could still hear. And he listened, and he had better spiritual insight than most. He'd heard of Jesus. He knew he was the Messiah, and so he used his royal name, royal title, Son of David. He cried out from his darkness to a Savior he could not physically see. The crowd tried to silence, but he continued to cry, and Jesus heard and invited him to come. Having been called, he knew he would be healed. He believed. He knew he would beg no more. So he threw that coat away excitedly. And after he told Jesus specifically what he wanted, he had the spiritual vision to recognize Jesus and trust him, not only to heal the physical sight, but spiritual giving insight. When Jesus made him whole, he was referring more to the physical. I found this on a story. It doesn't end here, though. Jesus told Bartimaeus to go his way. Instead of going back to his life, he chose to follow Jesus the way, in the way. The former beggar became a witness of Jesus, Son of God, testifying to his power to give sight to blind eyes, but also to save souls. Here's a little poem that was on that site. And I'll share it. No? Where is it? What do you want me to do? Jesus answered, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabboni, only that I might receive my sight." Jesus said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. So what can we learn here? Bartimaeus, he believed, right? Because it was said, "Your faith has healed you." That connection, reaching out, that connection was made. The hand of faith reaching out in prayer touched the heart of God. Jesus knew and responded. He believed Jesus was his Messiah, the Son of David. He believed Jesus could and would heal his physical blindness. And he ignored the crowd. Pluses or negatives, didn't worry about that, who thought he was a nuisance. He demonstrated his faith by threw the beggar's cloak away, and he chose to follow Jesus on the way. How about us? We too need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and admit our spiritual blindness, or whatever other blind spots that we have. Some things are visible, some things are invisible, but each of us are needing to have a healing from Jesus. We must confess Jesus as Savior with our mouth and demonstrate the faith in our heart. Denying ourselves, taking up our cross, whatever that is, and following Jesus on the road and enabling others to get close. Don't be a hindrance. Enable others to see Jesus is for you and you are on his mind, and he wants that healing for you. Blind Bartimaeus, here's a little poem, sat begging again that day, but hope was kindled when he heard Jesus was coming his way. "Have mercy on me," he began to pray. The crowd tried to hush him, but he didn't obey. "Son of David, have mercy," he continued to say. Then said our Savior, "Come to me, he may." Bartimaeus rose in haste, threw his beggar's cloak away. Jesus asked the beggar, "What do you want today?" "Lord, to receive my sight," he did pray. Jesus said, "Thy faith has healed thee. Go thy way." So the man, seeing, followed Jesus, his Savior, in the way. Have mercy. I think each of us can grow in this characteristic of who God is, and make a way for others to access the wonderful blessing, the wonderful person of who Jesus is. We don't have the resources. Sometimes we can help, but when you connect people to Jesus, that's the healing, that's the help that they need. Jesus, close to the heart of God, the
the way to the Father, the truth, the life, a new and living way. And he invites us to come to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in time of need. We might feel unworthy, and we are, in a sense. But because of the death of Jesus, he said, you are worthy because I gave my life. That gives value. That gives purpose. And so we can't call junk what God has paid his precious blood for. We have to accept that, still humbly, but also work in the healing way of others. Thankful for our healing and responsible to others. So God, in the Old Testament, he said, I will have mercy on who I will have mercy. When you see someone in their vibrant faith sharing their testimony, encourage them to keep sharing. Don't stifle them and say, oh, okay, let me tell you my story. It's a little better. Let a child speak. Let anybody speak of the wonderful grace of God. Because it is true for each one. And when you hear and you encourage someone else to share their testimony, yours will be strengthened too. God will have mercy. He will have compassion. I'm going to leave this today at this point. It's about 12:30. It's okay time to stop. Let me pray for you. We're going to sing our song. But we have actually extra special music today. Not extra. They signed up. And we want to hear them, give them Mayflower and Company, maybe a ukulele or two. And they're giving glory to God through the music. Let's just have a short word now. Father God, we thank you for this simple story. And we see ourselves, maybe in the crowd, maybe by the road. We're following Jesus. Some are at a distance. Some are really close. Some are following out of curiosity. Some trying to trip Jesus up. But Jesus is a man on a mission to the cross, to save the whole world. And yet in that moment, Lord, he had time for one man. We even know his name, Bartimaeus. May we reach out and call out like Bart did, to you, the Savior of the world, to have mercy on us. May you be real in our lives and grant us what we need, maybe not even what we ask for, but according to our need and according to your abundant mercies. Blot out our transgression, Lord. Give us a new life and start today. And encourage us to encourage others to get close to you to receive their healing, their touch, in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.